It was a crazy offseason as the Padres brought in Kemp.
Excited to be here, be a Padre, and excited to for this new opportunity in life.
Myers, Upton, Norris, and Middlebrooks.
Now the four players we're going to introduce today is about, you know, really trying to build a core group of players that, you know, we feel good about, that hopefully are gonna help build competitive teams care for the next 4 years.
And Shields.
This organization is ready to win now, and that's what attracted me to the San Diego Padres.
And the fun wasn't over as our rock star GM kept making moves right on through yesterday.
That's definitely the first time I've gotten the rock star tag.
Rock star, so, man.
Buddy, GM. Maybe yes. Maybe
GM, no, GM Rockstar, man.
And now, the season is here.
We're gonna try to bring a championship to San Diego.
So, are you ready to talk about Padres baseball? We've got you covered. We're ready for opening day with Jesse Agler and a man who remembers opening day a little bit differently when he played, Randy Jones.
I had big hair and I was on plastic grass.
We've also got Bill Center ready to kick things off against the Dodgers.
Hey, that's a great way to start this thing.
I'm smiling.
And now, coming to you from the AMR studio, it's Padre Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, with your hosts, Jesse Agler, Randy Jones, and Bill Center.
Welcome to Padre Social Hour, presented by United, with Bill Center and Randy Jones. I'm Jesse Agler. We are at Petco Park, broadcasting live from the AMR studio as we get you ready for opening day between the Padres and the Dodgers. It is one of the absolute best days on the sports calendar, gentlemen. Welcome. Thank you for being here. Thank you guys for being here. And how about that AJ Preller?
Amazing.
It's not That's easy to sort of knock opening day and Kershaw and Shields and Kemp returning to Los Angeles a little bit to the back burner, but it kind of feels like he did that. We sort of got into this offseason by talking about trades, and let's start the season off by talking about a trade. We'll get to Shields. We'll get to Kershaw. We'll get to Kemp and the lineup and all of that, but another move last night, Bill Center. No big deal. You just bring in the best closer in the National League to San Diego.
And the best curveball in the major leagues, the deadly curveball. Great closer. I love it. I think that that's the piece that they might have been missing. And I love how that trade came down last night because it also clears you of a big question, Maben or Quinton, for the final spot.
That's what I love about it. I like the idea of when he makes this trade, but a couple of question marks now are gone.
Right.
You have to worry about them and what you get in return. Well, we'll reap dividends from this. Have a classic closer. Joaquin Benoit comes in the eighth inning like we saw last year. We just got better, gentlemen.
It's just like the lineup. Everybody moves into a slot where they're a little bit better.
Exactly. I think that's outstanding.
I know the bullpen isn't necessarily the sexiest thing to talk about, but this is a sexy bullpen. This is a really sexy bullpen. I mean, this is going to be so much fun. Here's kind of all you need to know. You know Kevin Quackenbush? Really good last year. You know Brandon Maurer? Really good arm out of the pen. They trade for him, you know, Seattle before this season. Those guys are going to start the year in El Paso.
Right.
They would be maybe the two best relievers on several teams in baseball.
Oh, I agree.
Right.
And they're going to be in AAA to start the year.
And your bullpen now is nine deep.
It goes all the way to El Paso. And you knew that was going to happen, I think, you know, going into spring training. You know, we had so many outstanding arms, especially in the bullpen. I mean, a couple of guys, at least two, were going to be a little unhappy not making this roster. But also, hey, and kudos to the Padres to have that kind of backup. You know, in the pitching staff.
And I think what really happened here is I've been asked this morning, why does Quackenbush go out? Well, he had options. And, I mean, and so did
He also
so
had frequent flyer miles from last year.
Exactly. So it's like we're going to see Quackenbush we're going to see him not towards the end of the season. We're going to see him during the season because bullpens move quite a bit.
No doubt. And you're going to see these guys.
Right. But he had options, so it's easy to send him out and wait for something to happen.
I mean, it's a really amazing start to the season. You had the crazy December with all the big moves. We had fun during spring training. You know, you get to the last game the other day against the Brewers. You get to the Saturday exhibition against the Diablos Rojos del Mexico. And you say, okay, like I got a pretty decent sense of what I think this team is going to look like. And then he pulls the trigger on another big move. And the trade specifically, of course, Kimbrel comes over along with Melvin Upton Jr., formerly B.J. Upton, obviously Justin's brother, who's a center fielder for the Braves. How does he sort of fit into the mix? That's a conversation that is going to be had, but maybe what you need to know is that Melvin Upton Jr. will begin the season on the disabled list. He's got a little bit of a foot thing going on, so he's not expected to be able to play until, you know, probably May. So they got some time to figure all that out. But let's hear from A.J. Preller. Let's hear from the Padres general manager. He did a conference call last night with the media after this trade, sort of explained what he was thinking. And one of the first questions he was asked, understandably, was, hey, A.J., were you targeting a closer? Was this something you were trying to go out and do? Here's what he said.
Yeah, we really, you know, I don't think we really targeted, you know, necessarily a closer as something of need. I mean, I think, you know, even judging from the guys that are options today, you know, we've got some really quality relievers down in AAA. So I think we looked at it more as a chance to acquire somebody in Craig Kimbrel that's been one of the best in the game, and you know, as a price we were willing to pay. And I think we just felt like, you know, to get a, you know, an A-level performer who's, you know, 26 years old and, you know, hopefully right in the prime of his career. You know, we felt like that was an opportunity that was going to strengthen our club.
A filthy 26-year-old closer who is a four-time All-Star, who's had an ERA under 2 each of the last 4 years, who led the National League with 47 saves last season, who was the winner of the inaugural Trevor Hoffman Award for the best reliever in the National League. That's fun. That's okay. I get what AJ's saying. No, I wasn't really looking for a closer, but I could get one, so why not?
Yeah, sure. I agree.
Get the best.
Yeah. Why not?
That's kind of the whole thing here, and he seems very much less concerned with how people fit in with just acquiring the best talent. It kind of goes to something we've talked about all offseason, guys, right? People say, hey, there's so many right-handed bats. There are maybe too many right-handed bats, too many right-handed pitchers. This is something we've heard from fans and some media all offseason, and AJ's response all along sort of seems to be, I want the best players. I'm not really all that concerned whether they're a left-hander or
well,
right-hander.
Well, the lefty-righty king, it's overrated sometimes.
Right.
You know, I mean, you know, you got Frank Garcia coming out of the bullpen, that one left-hander, you're fine. I like that idea. I think one of the hidden things, I know you talk about, you gave up, you know, Cameron Maben, you gave up, you know, Carlos Quinton, you know, but Matt, you know, Matt Whistler is one of the keys. You know, good, solid right-hander, you know, and I think Atlanta had to be looking very hard when they got Whistler.
Well, they needed starting pitching.
That's right.
Right, so I think Whistler very soon is in the Atlanta rotation.
Oh, no doubt about it. And a little concern, you know, a little pitching here for 30 seconds. And, you know, I think his arm angle, he's dropped it a little bit. That elbow, he dropped it a little bit. And it kind of concerns me about Whistler. He has great stuff, but I'd like to see him get that elbow up a little bit more. His arm slot is a little bit low right now.
You're getting very technical with the low arm slot.
You know,
pitching coach Randy Jones.
That really concerned me a little bit when he dropped that arm slot a little bit. That's not a good spot to be in, and he's got to be careful of that.
All right. Is Leo Mazzoni still work for the Braves in some capacity? Maybe he can work with Matt Whistler on his arm slot.
Wouldn't be a bad call to give Leo Mazzoni a day with him. That would help.
Yeah. All right. So he's on to the Braves along, obviously, with Quinton and Maben. I think the expectation is they'll designate Carlos Quinton for assignment. He'll become a free agent, but Atlanta now on the hook for that money. The Padres, of course, on the hook for the money for Melvin Upton Jr. and Craig Kimbrel, which is quite a bit of money. But, I mean, hey, that's kind of part of the deal here. And the Padres' payroll now pushing $108, $109 million by most estimates as we get ready to start the season. Now, if you've watched the show with any sort of regularity, you know I am not one of these payroll fetishists. I don't get too concerned with the number. I'm much more interested with the names on the roster than I am what they're being paid. But this is obviously a seminal moment in Padre history. Is that fair to say, Bill, with all the perspective you've got?
Absolutely. I can remember 5 years ago when Jeff Morad made that comment, the payroll will start with a 4. And that just rankled Padre fans to no end. This is as excited as I've ever been going into the start of a Padres season. I got to honestly admit, maybe 85 because the expectations were high.
They were high then, but right. I don't think like this.
But you didn't have a lineup like this.
You didn't
even
have
the
25-man roster didn't have this much talent.
No.
Not even close.
Not close.
We'll talk more about the 25-man roster and the opening day starting lineup coming up in a little bit. We'll also hear some more from A.J. Preller on everything that's going on with this trade and sort of how he thinks it all fits together. But the one thing we know is the Padres better today than they were yesterday. And you deal with the financial implications in whatever way you've got to. But they go out and they get the best closer in the National League to be part of what was a historically good bullpen last year. You know, you look at Kansas City. They got to Game 7 of the World Series last year. How did they do it? Offensively, their game was speed. You know, they sort of looked at their ballpark and, you know, they decided to play that kind of game offensively. On the other side, it was all about that great bullpen, and the Padres, who already had the great bullpen, make it even better, and obviously they've added some serious offensive pieces this year as well.
And you can make an argument that they've got as good a five-man rotation as anybody in baseball. Maybe, I mean, when you got Ian Kennedy as your number four, you're pretty well set.
200 innings, 200 strikeouts, and the fourth starter.
Fourth starter.
And talking to Ian Kennedy in spring training, I go, hey, I looked at him and go, man, you might be the best fourth starter in the major leagues. And he looked at me.
Absolutely.
He goes, absolutely, you might be right. You know, but overall, the depth in pitching as well. And, even with Brandon Morrow having that number five spot, but right behind the scenes, you got Josh Johnson getting healthy.
And I think Josh Johnson could be one of the second half of this season if he's healthy and his stuff is like it used to be.
You get Josh Johnson and all these guys, even pitch close to their capabilities. We have the best starting five, I think, in the major leagues.
Yeah. All right. Carlos Quentin, by the way, already DFA'd. I missed that from the Braves. Thank you, Ghost of Ray Kroc, for checking in on Twitter.
Nice.
I've been paying so much attention to the Padres, I sort of forgot about the Braves part of this as soon as it happened. But there you go. All right. If you've never watched the show before, there's the hashtag. You can use it on the Twitter. PadresSH is the hashtag. We pull the comments and the questions from Twitter throughout the show and make you guys a part of this thing. You can also go to Padres.com/social hour where you can watch the show if you'd like, but we've also got the live chat going. Moderator Becky is in there. She's hanging out with all the fans. And they've got the chat happening
at
Padres.com/social hour.
Ask Bill Sutter those tough questions. Bill, I know you can handle them.
No,
you're the man. Fryer wire.
Statler and Waldorf are here. It's opening day on Padres Social Hour, presented by United. As your hometown pet retailer, Petco's proud to partner with the Padres in Petco Park. Thank you, San Diego, for sharing in our passion for pets in baseball. Petco, the power of together. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll hear more from A.J. Preller, give you a look at today's starting lineup. Like the bullpen gentlemen, the starting lineup today, very, very sexy. More opening day, Padres Social Hour, right after this.
We'll have more of your inside look at the San Diego Padres right after this on Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.